today on Real Radio.
Regarding the doctrine of environmentalism, are the things that they're saying true? And if they are true, will the evidence, will the data support it? Or is there some sort of an agenda? And in light of all of that, I want to say again, loud and clear, that as Christians, our God made everything that we enjoy in this environment. He is brilliant, and we are not to abuse things. The Christian should be the best steward over what God has made.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up, Pastor Jack continues his discussion called What is Environmentalism? By challenging the Christian to use the gospel as a way to combat the ever-increasing danger of worshiping nature. Our biblical worldview is essential in battling the agenda of radical environmentalists whose belief system comes from a lack of belief and faith in the Creator God. Pastor Jack warns us to care for and maintain creation, but it's not to be exalted above human life. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray that you'd give us ears to hear and to understand by your enlightenment of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us regarding these issues of our day. And Lord, as believers, as Christians, we above all people in this world know that there is nothing that is somehow secular and off limits to us, the believer. Everywhere we go, everything we do, because of who we are in Christ, makes it a spiritual issue. So, Father, we pray that you would teach us now and give us also the stomach to hear and to see things from your word and from reality that we have not been taught in school or in our general public. So, Father, help us now. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and look at verse 28. We are now picking up part two of this worldview series topic on environmentalism. What is environmentalism? First of all, before we go any further in part two of this study, listen carefully to this, and I love the dynamic. Listen, in this sanctuary, in this church, there is a diversity of backgrounds, education, economic levels, races, all of it. It's just an amazing, awesome montage of diversity. And I love that because whenever the cross is preached that Jesus saves, you're going to experience that. There's people that are around you that sometimes you notice sitting around you, they dress up for church. That's their culture that they've come from. And I have to tell you, I did not come from that kind of a culture, but my wife did. Lisa did. I got saved at 19. She gave her heart to Jesus, I think, at 4 or 5 years of age. She grew up in a very, very conservative Baptist church, and I grew up in a very, very conservative but non-denominational church. When I went to church at 19 years of age for the first time, there were hippies sitting around, and people were sitting in church in their bathing suits, and some people didn't have shoes on. And I just thought, well, this is amazing. And when you think about that, the diversity of it, Christianity in its reality is not a cookie cutter production line. And I love the diversity of it. And I've told you before, and it upset some people. And I know that when I said it before, some people left the church when I said this. So I'll say it again. I don't believe in having a white Caucasian church, that we are the Calvary Chapel of the first Caucasians. I don't believe that we should have a Hispanic church. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't believe that we should have a black church. I don't believe that we should have a Filipino church or a Korean. I believe that the church is the church. It is a montage of color and of people and of background because it's the cross of Christ that brings people together. There is not going to be an area in heaven. There's not going to be the Calvary Chapel section in heaven. We all know that. There's not going to be the, you see what I'm saying? This is vitally important. You see, why do we bring that up? Because when Paul was speaking to the people in Athens, Greece, there were people from all over the known world that had made their way to Greece. And as we look at this verse, Acts 17:28 sums up that whole tremendous presentation that he gives there at Mars Hill. That when he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being," he is speaking about mankind in total. That you and I live and move and have our being in the God of the Bible. And when we talk about this issue of environmentalism, I find it amazingly interesting that the diversity that's in this church expressed its understanding or comment about last Wednesday. Why did we talk on this topic? Watch this. "I must confess that people who were about 50 years of age and over," and I'm in that group, "asked me this question during the week at the grocery store, out in the public, and on Sunday, last Sunday, they asked me, why in the world are we wasting our time talking about this issue on Wednesday night in the Worldview series of environmentalism? 50 years of age and over, it's a waste of time." Now listen, 50 years of age and under, especially 30 years of age and under, they can't get enough of it. This is a generational gap in our attention. Well, I don't know why we're talking about this topic. Let me tell you something right now. This topic that we're talking about is engulfing our young people today, and us oldies don't get it. We don't understand that the young people today have been indoctrinated in their schools regarding this topic of environmentalism to the point that it has become a religion. It is shocking. So when we talk about this topic, this is very serious. And last week we got into the introduction of it all, and this week we'll pick it up and dive in. We've got a lot of information to cover, and I don't expect to finish it even this week. What is environmentalism in light of our Christian or biblical worldview series? The Christian needs to come out of, as it were, the Stone Age and into the modern age, but bring the everlasting gospel into it. We need to be very, very aware that what our young people are being taught is what's called the green gospel. I'm not making it up. The green gospel, that we as Christians, we need to save the earth because it's in great peril and it's about to die if we don't save it. This is being taught in churches. And watch this. Church budgets are being allocated not to evangelism, but to environmentalism. And that is happening across America. And for many of us who have been raised in Bible teaching churches, this comes as a shock to us. But the reality is that the young generation today is seeing a great disconnect from biblical worldview understanding and the world that they're being taught in the public arena. So regarding this, you guys know, grab your Bibles if you would, Acts 17:28, yes, "For in him we live and move and have our being," but look at Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning God created," says the Bible, the divine, awesome, sovereign God of the Bible, "created the heavens and the earth." Verse 11 says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." Isn't it amazing? Moses knew what a microscope reveals, that in the genetic, in the code of the seed is all the information to replicate the same plant. The apple tree produces apple trees. And Moses says so. Verse 20 says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens." Verse 21, "So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 25, "And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind," the coded DNA. cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Note this. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And in chapter 2 of Genesis, Genesis 2:15, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. To tend it was Adam's mission, and to keep it, the word is to make it useful to him, to make it productive to him. Pretty amazing. And so as we look now, we get into our study. Point number one that we're looking at, what is environmentalism? Number one is this, the meaning of it, we need to know. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, environmentalism is this, the theory that views the environment rather than heredity as the main contributing factor, listen to this, to the development of a people group, a culture, or individual. Wow, did you hear that? Did you all get that? That the theory of it, of environmentalism, is what contributes to the foundational platform of us being a culture, not hereditary. That's a pretty bold statement, but there it is nonetheless. It also goes on to say in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the advocacy for the preservation of the natural environment, amen to that, that's great, especially in the area of pollution control and overpopulation. Well, we're going to look at some of these things tonight. Are these issues increasing? Are we, you and I, in danger now in our world regarding the doctrine of environmentalism? Are the things that they're saying true? And if they are true, will the evidence, will the data support it? Or is there some sort of an agenda? And in light of all of that, I want to say again, loud and clear, that as Christians, our God made everything that we enjoy in this environment. He is brilliant, and we are not to abuse things. The Christian should be the best steward over what God has made. But he, according to God, has given us these things to use them, to manage them, to protect them, but to put them into use to better human life. Nature is not to be exalted above human life. The Bible makes this clear. And right now, with that statement, people 50 years of age and over in the sanctuary are saying, well, duh. And people 40 years of age and under are saying, now, wait a minute. Don't look it up right now. Don't start pulling out your phone or your iPad and going to these websites. Look at them later. But look at the doctrine of environmental groups such as Earth First. Boy, I tell you, you read their website and it's, they say, no, 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 no. In fact, they say, we don't practice reproduction because it's going to harm the planet. And if we do get somebody pregnant, we'll just abort it because we are going to hurt the planet if we produce any more kids. Is that true? What's the data? Yeah, but what's the data? Okay, we can say no or yes or whatever, but what's the data say? God gave us the environment to use. He says so. That's his word. That's what the Bible says. And I do believe that we are to be proper stewards of it, as I said. But where does this come from regarding the meaning of environmentalism? If you go to HinduWisdom.com, I quote, Hinduism has always been an environmentally sensitive philosophy. This is from their website. No religion perhaps lays as much emphasis on environmental ethics as Hinduism. Hinduism contains the earliest messages for the preservation of the environment. Well, that's not true. My Bible outdates that. God said in the beginning. And ecological balance. Nature or earth has never been considered a hostile element to be conquered or dominated. In fact, man is forbidden from exploiting nature. He is taught to live in harmony with nature and recognize that divinity prevails in all of the elements, including plants and animals. Did you hear that? Theirs was not a, su- The masters of the past have always had great respect for nature. Theirs was not a superstitious primitive theology. They perceived that all material manifestations or avatars are shadows of or from the spiritual realm. The Gita advises us not to try to change the environment, improve it, or wrestle with it. If it seems hostile at times, tolerate it. Ecology is an inherent part of a spiritual worldview in Hinduism, close quote. There is the care for the environment. But Hinduism, for example, views it that the elements of nature are not only there, but they speak of divinity, and in fact, they play a role in this multifaceted universe of gods. Which is true. What does the Bible say? So the very definition and meaning of environmentalism is not right ecology. We would probably all agree with proper ecology. My goodness, growing up, you guys, if you grew up in Orange County or Southern California, and you're over 50, do you remember things called smog alerts? Do you remember not being able to go to football practice or baseball practice? Do you remember your games being canceled because the smog was so severe that you couldn't go outside and play sports? Those days are gone, man. And that's a great thing. Not everything done, you know, to improve the environment has been by some crazy extremist. There's been great strides made in protecting the environment. That's fantastic. We're all for that. Number two, the origin of environmentalism. We need to be careful that we separate the word environment from environmentalism. Are you with me on that? Environment is of God. Environmentalism borders on the worship of the environment. Two different things, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout human history, pagan worship systems have always drawn its worshipers toward a natural or nature's deities that they've made. This is a universal fact around the world. There have always been the tendency within the human being who may live in an environment where they're ignorant of the gospel. For example, even now, you could go to the jungles of Brazil, to people yet unreached, and they will worship. They are worshiping currently the canopy of the rainforest. They make offerings to the trees. And you ask them why. What's your belief on this? Because from the trees come the monkeys that we eat. From the trees come the birds that we eat. From the trees come, do you see what they're saying? And I understand their perception from where they're at, but that's among nations or people groups that have not yet heard the truth. And so they interpret in their locality that this is a good thing. What they're really saying, right? I mean, they're really saying the trees have been very good to us because things seem to come down from the trees and we live. Now, what somebody needs to do is get to them and say, but what's beyond the trees? Where do the trees get their help from? And that's how you would begin to introduce them to the great creator God. But where there's no gospel, where there's no enlightenment, man will search and find for some sort of deity or deities. And most often in pagan cultures, the environment historically has come into play. Now, listen, that's regarding unreached people groups. What about unwilling people groups? These are the individuals who see the environment as being our mother source. And this is huge and it's growing by the day. They believe that the earth has some form or ability to feel or to reason somehow in its realm. That when we take a plow, there have been people, you'll say, but Jack, those are extremists. I understand that, but listen. There are people who, when a bulldozer puts its blade into the ground and begins to push, they actually have stress attacks. They actually cry. They actually weep because they believe the earth is being cut open, just like if somebody took a knife and cut your arm. They have personified the earth. People don't want to hear this stuff. But it's being taught to many young people today. It's an increasing issue of our taxation and our budget regarding environmentalism. Ecology, fixing things, making things better drinking water, things like that, that's fantastic. But there's a fine line that we could cross. It's a zeal that causes people to say things like, and quote, this is from Earth First, their website, Mother Nature is really giving us a nasty winter, was their quote last year regarding the tremendous snowfalls that America went through. Now notice, Mother Nature, we've all heard that term, the personification of nature, Mother Nature. Did you know, I was not surprised, but you know that term Mother Nature goes all the way back to Babylonianism. It's over 4,000 years old, that term. Mother Nature was the ancient goddess that in Greek mythology called Gaia. And you can read books about her. You can go to websites and read all about her. Al Gore mentions Gaia in his campaign on environmentalism and all. But in one of those websites of Gaia, it says that the increase... The increase of natural disasters is a result of Mother Earth being angry with us. That's at the Earth First Conference of 2009. We would say, well, that's ridiculous. Who would believe this? That's stupid stuff. That's crazy. But this is the pervading focus of young people today. What is our biblical worldview regarding this topic? What does the Bible tell us? When we read the Bible from cover to cover, we have a keen respect for God's creation. By the way, did you know that it's the Bible that says you shouldn't kill an animal unless you eat it? Think of that. If you're a hunter, that's not a sin to be a hunter. Just eat what you hunt. The Bible says if you don't eat it or if you don't provide it to be food for somebody, that's a sin. I appreciate that. You don't want somebody walking around just slaying stuff. That's insane. That's crazy. It's very important. God has provided. We take care of it, but we don't worship it. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to turn there. I want you to follow along. It'll be on the screens, but you ought to mark your Bibles. This is amazing. For those of you who don't know or not aware, listen to this. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to the Italians there in Rome this amazing portion of Scripture. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, that is, hold down, hide it, the truth in unrighteousness. Because why? Look. What may be known of God is manifest in them. The Bible says that every human being has an internal witness that God exists. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, that is, they didn't know him personally, but they knew they were convinced by observation that God exists. They did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Listen. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. Does that mean if you keep thinking stupid thoughts, you'll eventually just be stupid? The answer is yes. That's why the Bible is for education.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in part two of a message called What is Environmentalism? A study on how to approach environmental issues through our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that takes a look at worldview issues through the biblical lens. Now, if you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and grab any episode you might have missed, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Also, you know, this news cycle that we're going through is, it's constantly political. That's the bottom line. So a lot of things are going on in our country that you just don't hear about. Like, for instance, did you know that there was a huge flood in Louisiana? Really, a lot of people displaced, worse than the last couple of hurricanes that happened there. You can help by going to LouisianaHelp.com. That's LouisianaHelp.com. Now, of course, because of the election cycle, not a lot of folks heard about the recent flooding crisis in Louisiana. Go to LouisianaHelp.com to find out how you can help. It happened in and around Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and you can help. Go to LouisianaHelp.com. That's LouisianaHelp.com. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.